Hi, and welcome to the Arana Hills Church of Christ podcast. We hope this message brings you closer to knowing God, finding freedom in Him, and understanding what He has in store for you and your community. To learn more about Arana Hills Church of Christ, head to aranahills.church. We hope you enjoy this message.
You cannot make them put their trust in anything. You can't make them do things. It's their choice. I can't tell you to put your trust in Him alone. I can tell you what's happened in my life when I have. He moves, He's gentle, He's kind, He's patient, He's persistent, He's relentless. His love for you is relentless. He wants us all to live wholehearted. You've got it written on signs all over the place. He wants you to live wholehearted. He doesn't want you to live brokenhearted. How many verses tell us that He came to bind up the brokenhearted? He wants us to live wholehearted, soft-hearted, surrendered-hearted. He wants our mosaic hearts to be in His hands, all of the broken pieces put back together His way so that His light can shine through. It's written on the back of some cars out there that this community of people are here to bring light to the community, bring the light of Christ to community. When you bring your messy, broken pieces to Him, He makes things beautiful. Someone said to me a couple of years ago when I was going through a really broken, challenging, hard, messy, hurting time, if it's not beautiful, He's not done yet. Right? It's who He is. It's what He does. It's not just what He does, it's who He is. I'm going to read to you this morning. AJ and I spoke this week, and these were the verses that we were going to bounce off. So I'm using the Message translation this morning. I'm going to read the verses to you, and then we're going to launch into whatever comes next. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 28 in the Message say, "For here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of these countries, gather you from all over, and bring you back to your own land. I'll pour pure water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands. You'll once again live in the land I gave your ancestors. You'll be my people. I'll be your God." God knows the full story. And God sees the true person. God knows your full story. And He knows your truest self. I have friends in the room that have known me over 10 years. I had a friend this week listen to a podcast that I was a guest on, and she said to me, "It's like at age 47, you are the truest version of yourself, the softest version of yourself." She said, "I've never heard you tell your story so softly." And she didn't know what I was going to be talking about today, so that was cool. God knows your full story, and He sees the true self, your fullest, truest, softest, kindest, most healed, most whole person is who He sees. He sees you, He knows you, and He loves you. He sees you with eyes of grace and a heart full of hope. And it's not just what He does, it is who He is. He is grace. He is kindness. He wants us to be made whole. He wants us to want to be made whole. And that takes courage. takes courage to show up with your mess and your pain and your brokenness and trust in the kindness of God. I will trust in you alone. A dear friend of mine's name, his name's Dr. Dan Allender. He has a profound, there's a little bug flying around. That's not Dan's statement. He has a profound statement that has helped me to choose to show up in the fullness of my story and with all my broken parts. To take my mosaic heart to him over and over and over and over again. And to trust in the goodness of God and trust with hopeful expectation that he is who he says he is. That his promises are true, that if it's not beautiful, he's not done yet. Dan's statement has given me permission for this journey to be a process. Dan's statement is, your wounds are meant to be healed and your scars are meant to be beautiful. Your wounds are meant to be healed and your scars are meant to be beautiful. That requires acknowledgement that you have some. That's an acknowledgement, God, I am wounded. God, I have scars. I have mess, I have pain. I have broken parts and I need you. He wants us to need him, yeah? This almighty God who is ever-present and all-knowing, he wants you to need him. He's everywhere. He's waiting. He's the healer. He's the lover of your soul. He's the writer of your story, yes, but he is waiting for you to come. And he waits patient. And he waits long. And he waits in love. Your wounds are meant to be healed. Your scars are meant to be beautiful. The only way that that can happen is if we let go. If we acknowledge, if we come. Come in surrender. Come with the wounds. Come with the brokenness. Come with the needs. He's faithful. He's safe. You can trust him. He's good for it. There's nothing that you could ever do to make him love you any more or any less. Nothing. We read in those incredible verses in Ezekiel, he is going to do it. He says, here's what I'm going to do. He is going to do it. He is going to bring you out of your wandering. And wandering in the desert, but also wondering about God. He's going to gather us from all over. He's going to bring us back to our own land. He's going to pour pure water over you. He's going to scrub you clean. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to put a new spirit within you. He will remove the heart of stone. He will replace it with a heart of flesh. A heart that beats with his heartbeat. A heart that actually feels. He'll teach you his will and he'll give you the wisdom and courage to walk in his ways. He'll put his spirit in you and you will once again live. You'll feel and you'll heal. And we can't truly, fully, completely heal and have these whole heart experiences without feeling first. He doesn't want us to band-aid over the pain or band-aid and pretend we don't have broken bits. In Psalm 139, he lets us know that he's everywhere and he knows everything. So he already knows that you have them. You can't keep secrets from him. And what I've learned in my 23 years as a friend of God is that he always wins the wrestle. I can fight and fight and fight and fight, and he always wins and he always knows best. He has my and your best interests at heart. He wants us to be made whole. He wants us to want to be made whole. He needs us to let go. He needs us to surrender. I've learned, as I said, in the last 23 years, as a friend and lover of Jesus, that crucifixion has to come before resurrection. Crucifixion has to come before resurrection. Everything that he touches has resurrection power attached to it. But he needs to touch it. He needs us to let it go. He needs us to welcome him in to those spaces with us and trust in his goodness, trust in his kindness, trust in his love, trust in him knowing you better than you'll ever know yourself. Crucifixion has to come before resurrection. I'm going to ask you this question before I give you some glimpses into my personal story as to why this matters to me so much that you hear it. What are you clinging to that he would love you to let go of so that you can cling to him alone? You don't have to answer me, but I feel like Holy Spirit wants you to answer him. What are you clinging to? What's taking up so much of your time, your thoughts, your heart, your schedule, your mind, your thinking, your relationships? What are you clinging to that he wants you to let go of so that you can cling to him alone? Because like we sung, I will put my trust in you alone. I will cling to you alone. But our hands get too full. Or we try and give advice to the creator of the universe who doesn't need, okay, Lord God, this is my multiple choice for you. My options for you, creator of the universe, are A, B, C, D. And he's like, E, none of the above. Yeah? We want his will done our way. Or we want his will done in our timing. And he's just asking for surrender. To let it go. To trust in him alone. To not hold on and, you know, we kind of like, okay, I let it all go. And we let go with both hands, but we hold on with our pinky finger. It's not the fullness. It's not. It's not complete wholeness. It can't be. He doesn't need you to whisper him your advice, your wisdom. He needs you to trust in him alone. It's his heart. It's his passion. It's his desire. He wants intimacy with him to be our number one priority. What are you clinging to that he would love for you to let go of so you can cling to him alone? So you heard me say I'm going to give a quick, brief version of my story. I'm 47 years old. I know I look way younger than that. You get brownie points for telling me how much younger than that you think I look before I leave. I did get told on, what night was it? Friday night, that I look 38. I'll take it. 23 years ago, when I was age 24, I found myself in a place where I had been raised a good kid. I had parents that loved me the best way they knew how, was the kindest way to tell my story. They did what they could with what they had. And they loved me the best way that they could without God's help, of which I've needed so much in the last 21 years as a parent. And they didn't know. And they loved me the best way they knew how. And when we were 13, when I was 13, I moved from Melbourne to Brisbane, actually lived in Fernie Hills for years. I was like, oh, this is like my hood. Hi, I'm back. I went from the same school, the same friends, the same life, the same route to school, to the unknown. And I went to an elite fancy girls' school here in Brisbane, and I didn't love it. And I don't think they loved me either. And I didn't fit in. And I was 13. And I had identity issues, and I didn't know that's what it was. And I tried and I tried to fit in. I remember going to the guidance counselor, and I was just like, they're rude. These girls are rude. And she was like, why don't you just, you know, make an effort? I was like, why don't they make an effort? I didn't know who I was. I didn't know whose I was. And I tried to fit in, and then, you're in grade 10, and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're 15, and you think you are grown up, and you know everything. I decided I was going to make movies and go to Hollywood. I do still love a good story, and I may one day still make a film. The school that I went to didn't offer film and TV. I found a school that did, asked my folks if I could go to a school if I found the right school, and they said yes. And then I told them the name of this school, and they said, well, there's gangs and drugs there. And I was like, that's okay, I know how to say no. I said no. I went to that school against their better judgment, and I said no to drugs every day up until 2 weeks out from the end of grade 12. And 2 weeks out from the end of grade 12, I knew I had the grades to get to uni, and someone offered me pot, and I smoked pot. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and then I started to try other drugs. And I ended up in that first year of university that I'd worked my whole life to get to. Speed, ecstasy, cocaine, acid, mushrooms, all of it, anything. Start of my second year at university, I fell into a relationship like you fall into the gutter with a guy who was known to be a heroin addict. And everybody said to me, you're going to end up a junkie. And I was like, wow, thank you for the votes of confidence, people. I didn't have a community like this to come alongside me, look me in the eye, see my true self, and call it out. To notice the changes. To care enough to invite me for a coffee and ask me, was I okay? I didn't have it. And so I ended up pregnant. I terminated that pregnancy. I was so engulfed with guilt and shame that all I wanted to do was be numb. So I started using heroin about a month later, and I used heroin every day for nearly 6 years. I was numb, I was void, I was hard-hearted. I built a fortress around my heart, my mind, my life, my story. Nobody knew who I truly was because I didn't know who I truly was. I ended up in crime, prostitution, lost, angry, broken. At the age of 24, after 6 years on heroin, I found myself in a doctor's surgery. A doctor that was known to help drug addicts, because I decided that I was going to get off drugs. And I'm sitting in his surgery, and he looked at me and he said to me, I don't think drugs are your problem. Hello, have you been listening? They are. I think your problem is you have a hole in your soul only Jesus can fill. Sorry? Who says that? I very colourfully told him what I thought he could do with what he thought Jesus could do for me. And he gave me two phone numbers on a piece of paper. He said, you need to go to drug rehab. And I thought, don't drug addicts go to rehab? Because I didn't realise I was one. 6 years bound. 6 years addicted. 6 years trapped. 6 years building a fortress around my heart and soul, and I didn't know. On this piece of paper, there was two numbers he said to me. One of them's a Christian rehab, and one of them is not. I said, can you tell me the one that is not, because I will not be calling the other one. He still laughs at the thought of me standing in a church with a microphone, because every second word was a swear word, The hardness of my heart didn't let anyone in. There was no feeling, there was no softness. I looked and I felt and I smelt like death warmed up. But God knew my full story and he saw my true person. I didn't scare him. I made a phone call and the first number didn't answer. And I thought, that's got to be the Christian one. There's no way those people are going to want me. And I called the next one. I said, hi, I'm Bronwyn. I guess I need to go to rehab. Do you have a bed for a female? And they said, oh, funny you should call today. We did just have a girl booked in, but she's decided not to come. We do. It's available in 3 days. And I was like, okay, that's got to be the non-Christian one, right? I showed up. My mum dropped me off. I signed a commitment paper to some program I didn't understand. And that night they pulled out a guitar and started singing songs about Jesus. I call it a conspiracy theory from heaven. The Twilight Zone. Who are these people? And the next day there was a Bible study. And the day after that another Bible study, like we have to study this thing every day. And they did an alpha course. And I was like sitting in the room like, if God's so good, why did he let me be a drug addicted prostitute? The hardest of hearts. God knew my full story and he saw my true person. And those people in that rehab, and I say this to give you encouragement next time anybody steps foot through those doors. Or you stand next to them at the supermarket, or you stand next to them at Target, or anywhere else you might ever be. God knows their full story and he sees their true person. They loved me. And I was far from lovable, very unlovely, hard-hearted, rude, arrogant. Literally every second word was a swear word. They would be concerned that the AV guy doesn't have like a mute button just in case this morning. And they loved me. And there was holes in the wall and I threw plates at people's heads. And I refused to go inside the building on a Sunday at church, even though it was part of a program I'd apparently signed up for. And I would blow my cigarette smoke in the building to annoy all of you. And one Sunday it was pouring rain and I didn't have a choice but to go inside. It was the good rain. And I didn't know. And so I just grabbed a chair and I pulled it to the back wall. And I thought, maybe God can't see me here. Because I didn't have the Psalm 139 revelation that he was everywhere and knew everything and loved me anyway. Maybe he won't see me here. And I hadn't melted on the floor like the Wicked Witch from the Wizard of Oz, like I thought my sin was going to do to me, if I'd have known that it was sin. And the pastor preached some message that I didn't understand. And I didn't remember. Hopefully that won't happen this morning. Hopefully my voice will haunt you in the most loving, holy way when you leave. And then he got to the end and he said, if anyone in here wants to give their hearts to Jesus, I'd love you to come to the front. And I'm at the back thinking, what kind of loser does that? And the next minute I was at the front. And he said to me, do you want to say the salvation prayer? Now, he was speaking what I call Christianese and I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what it meant. I don't know, do I? I said some prayer that I didn't understand. And then I said to him, can I say my own? And that pastor is still a friend of mine. And he said, I just thought, please don't swear your way to heaven. And I basically said, God, if everything that these people have told me about you is true, but if everything they've shown me about you is true, because they had shown me kindness. They had shown me grace. They had shown me patience. They had seen my full story and they had seen and loved my true person. and I made it very hard. Very hard. If everything they've told me and everything they've shown me about you is true, I dare you to take me. I didn't realize he already had. And I was already your brother and sister. And in that moment, I had a heart transplant. In that moment, he took my stony heart and he gave me a heart of flesh. In that moment, I started seeing things in a new way. I started feeling things. The heart transplant was a miracle. Me getting saved was a miracle. Capital letters, miracle. The heart transplant was a miracle. The transformation has been a process. The transformation is a process. The heart transplant was the beginning. In those verses in Ezekiel, it says, I'm going to pour pure water over you and scrub you clean. I needed it. I knew that I needed it. Some of us now, in the comfortability of uncomfortability in our Christianity, don't know that we need a fresh touch. Don't know that we need a fresh outpouring of pure water. We may have been in church for all of the Sundays of our life. And yet I believe that this morning Holy Spirit wants to stir something in us. A fresh hunger. Because I believe that the whisper of heaven for each one of us in here today is, but wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. I needed to come to the end of myself to realize that I needed him. And in the 23 years since then, I have needed to come to the end of myself so many times to not trust in me alone, to trust in him alone. So many times. Like last year and last month and last week and yesterday, afresh. It's why he wants intimacy with him to be our number one priority, so that we can be close enough for him to whisper, come, there's more, there's healing. Let me pour pure water over this circumstance and that circumstance. Let me take the hardness and let me make it soft. Let me help you feel again. Don't be afraid to feel, because when you feel, you will heal. You will. Question again. What are you clinging to that he would love for you to let go of so that you can cling to him alone? He makes beautiful things out of the dust, but they have to become dust first. He gives us beauty for ashes, but they have to become ashes first. They can become that in the refiner's fire, but it's process. It's a choice. It's your choice to let go. It's your choice to lean in. It's your choice to trust. It's your choice to trust in him alone. It's your choice to let go of the things that you're clinging to so that you can cling to him alone. He makes beautiful things out of the dust, but they have to become dust first. When I got saved on August 15th, 1999, his love came in. And in that moment, that heart transplant that was a miracle gave me new life. He poured his spirit. Like he promised he was going to do in Ezekiel, I will pour my spirit into you. We need to get out of his way. We need to let him have his way. What do you need to let go of to become surrendered dust at his feet today? Because if he makes beautiful things out of the dust, but they have to become dust first, that sounds like it's surrendered dust, right? That's not the dust we're holding on to. It's like, I'm too scared to let go. Who knows what's going to happen? It's surrendered dust. What hard and stony part of your heart do you need to allow to marinate in his presence so that surrender and softness and pliability to his will can come? To marinate in his presence. Because I used to be a very unpleasant, it would have not been a pleasant steak. It would have not. And now I have to believe that in the 23 years of transformation and all of the years that are yet to come, that wherever I go and whoever I see and whatever eye contact I make, whatever hug I give, whatever love I share, that I am going to see the full story and know the true person and call that true person out. To call people into his presence, to marinate in his presence, to let him make them soft, pliable, to live in his will, not our own. It says in those verses in Ezekiel that it says there at the end, I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands. You'll once again live in the land I gave your ancestors. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. So what do you need to let go of to become surrendered dust at his feet today? I'm just going to close in prayer before I hand back to AJ. So just right where you are, if you guys don't mind closing your eyes. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you know the full story and you see the true person. We thank you for the miracle of heart transplants. And we thank you for the beauty of the truth that transformation is a process. And God, right where we are, I pray that you would move in the hearts of these people, the ones who choose to say, yes, I believe there's more. Yes, I surrender. Yes, I let go. Yes, I lean in. Yes, I become surrendered dust at your feet. We thank you, Lord God, that crucifixion has to come before resurrection. But there are resurrections awaiting in this room this morning. Hearts, minds, lives, bodies, relationships, finances. There's resurrection awaiting in this place today. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you take our hearts of stone and you give us hearts of flesh. Help us to beat in time and in line with the heartbeat of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were encouraged by the message and would like to hear more sermons like this, make sure you hit subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. To experience other messages, videos, and live services, head to aranahills.church and navigate to the Resources tab. Thanks for listening.